And we're talking about sexual harassment in the workplace. It's been a rampant topic of conversation, of course. And Dawn Ross is here in the studio with us. She is from Carl Mackey Power and Ross. I assume you're the Ross of that equation.
I am, Pat. Thank you for having me.
Nice to have you here, Dawn. And you are, unfortunately, in what we call the club, among the people who have lost homes in our wildfires. So sorry about that.
Thank you. We are, I've been referring to it as the 3200 Club. And
3200
Club. And it's a sad club to be a member of, but I have to say a big shout out and thank you to KSRO. The work that you did during the fires, every morning we would tune in, and I know you weren't sleeping much, and we really, really appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much for that. You were doing some pretty tough work yourself there, and we hope to be the ongoing voice of recovery for Sonoma County and beyond at this point. So sexual harassment, but there's harassment, there's misconduct, there's abuse, all of it's under the microscope right now, countrywide. What is the definition of sexual harassment in the workplace?
Well, there's two different kinds of sexual harassment. The first kind is called quid pro quo, and it's just like it sounds. It is some type of job benefits or favorable treatment at work in exchange for sexual favors. That's the far less likely kind. The more common kind of sexual harassment is called hostile work environment or environmental sexual harassment, and that is when there's unwanted, and that's a key, unwanted speech or conduct that is severe or pervasive. That's another key, severe or pervasive.
Yeah, I would think.
Enough to create a hostile or abusive work environment. So it's not, a random joke here and there. It's something that's kind of an ongoing pattern of behavior that really makes the workplace an unpleasant place to be.
Especially after you've said something about it, I would imagine it would be,
Well, it's not a requirement that a person say something about it. It is a good practice. And in my experience, when I'm talking to juries do want to have had the person say something.
Yeah.
But again, it kind of depends on what the conduct is. If it's something extreme.
That's too tough for people to do.
Right. And so if it's something extreme, lots of physical conduct, then there's not as much of an expectation that you say something, but if it's things like how was your weekend and a hug now and again and an off-color joke now and again, then there is a sort of an expectation that at least by your body language you indicate a disapproval.
Yeah. Well, it's it's been around forever. It seems like ever since women started entering the workplace, that sexual harassment of some kind has been in the sort of ethereal world of ours. But of course, now it is it's the topic du jour, and so much of the Me Too movement is surrounded by women finally coming up in many cases after years or decades of their experiences in this kind of thing. And I'll tell you, Dawn, what I say to a lot of people about this issue and this subject of harassment, I'm surprised it took this long for women to speak up. I thought we were a lot further along than this.
Well, I agree entirely. And I don't think you can take what's going on in the entertainment industry and generalize it to corporate America. I think corporate America has been on this for decades. There's been training in the almost 30 years I've been a lawyer. Sexual harassment complaints and lawsuits have gone down dramatically. There seems to be a couple of last holdouts in the enlightened world.
Yeah.
And the entertainment industry appears to be one of those.
There's more than one, apparently. Yeah.
And I don't know if it's because that industry, a lot of it is the casting room couch has been
lore, really.
Exactly,
yeah.
The stuff of lore. And women are, and men are hired based on their looks. In what other industry do you say, get me a 6-foot curvy blonde,
Yep. Very true. It must be harder to distinguish there, I would imagine. There's sex scenes going on all over the place. It doesn't mean that you can't you know, distinguish between what's for work and what's, you know, not for work. But it must make it a bit cloudier, I would think.
Yeah, I think the lines are a little blurrier. But a lot of the conduct we've been hearing about, you know, you don't walk around naked in front of your coworkers in any environment.
Yeah, I don't think that's ever a good idea, really. Office party or no, coming up, you know. But you're right, that is in the extreme. But I think that this is all such a matter of degree for people as we all try to get evolved and better educated about this. I think that any woman would be hard-pressed not to come up with a story about sexual harassment of some kind.
I would agree with that. As a 50-something woman, I have many of my own stories. I'm sure you do, and pretty much every woman I know does.
Yeah, I think so, too. With sexual harassment, let's talk about for a minute, let's talk about actually talking about it, reporting it, and when can it become a crime?
Well, I do employment law in the civil context, and in my almost 30 years of doing it, it has never crossed over into the criminal arena. Sometimes there are assault and battery charges, civil assault and battery charges, as part of a civil lawsuit, but I've never had a situation where the person has also filed a criminal complaint, and there has been a criminal prosecution ongoing. In part, that might be because it would really hold up a civil action because you would have to wait until the criminal action finished.
Right, right, right. Yeah. And now, so if it does feed over into the criminal aspect of this, is that the only case in which there's a statute of limitation that applies to this kind of behavior?
No, there's absolutely civil statutes of limitation.
Oh, there are. Okay.
Yeah, you have to file a complaint first with the Department of Fair Employment and Housing or its federal equivalent, the EEOC, within 1 year of the last act of harassment or discrimination.
And then so what is the I called you up this afternoon and I said, you know, after our conversation, I got enlightened and there are some things that I'd like to report and there are some things that I'd like to move further along in the process. What does that process look like from your standpoint as an employment lawyer?
Yeah, so I'm usually defending employers. I rarely represent employees, but on the rare occasion I do. But what a plaintiff's attorney would do is bring the person in, talk to them about what happened, find out how long ago it happened, if it's still a timely complaint.
Yeah, I would think, yeah.
And then ask, you know, have you reported it to human resources? Have you followed the internal chain to see if you can have a remedy at work rather than just jumping right into a lawsuit?
Yeah, because most businesses, I mean, I would think this would be true for decades now, have some sort of a sexual harassment policy in place.
Right. So most larger employers have employee handbooks. They all have sexual harassment policies. But even smaller employers are required to hang up those giant posters we see in our employee
break
rooms.
In the break room, yeah.
Right. And they all indicate what the sexual harassment law is in the state of California. But everyone knows that, you know, you should go to your supervisor. If it's your supervisor, you should go to some other supervisor or human resources person in the workplace and really try to work it out there before you jump to a lawsuit.
And from an employer standpoint, are there more heebie-jeebies right now because this is so top of mind for the country?
I think so. I've heard a lot of people say, you know, I spend more time at work than I do at home. My coworkers are my friends. My coworkers are almost like family. Does this mean I can't talk about what'd you do this weekend?
Yeah.
Here's what I did this weekend. That I can't say, oh my gosh, you lost your home and give you a hug.
Especially right now in Sonoma County, we're all hearts on our sleeves.
We are.
We're all feeling vulnerable and need comfort. So you're right. That's a big issue, I guess.
There's a lot of hugging going on.
Yeah.
And I don't think we've gotten to that point. I certainly hope we haven't gotten to that point because we all want to work in a workplace where we have those relationships. But that's different, of course, from coming in every day and saying to your subordinates, give me a hug.
Yeah.
So, you know, common sense.
And so what I'm finding, Dawn, is that even, you know, walking through this building or other buildings where a lot of the guys are like, you know, hands up in the air, I'd like to say what a beautiful blouse that is, but I'm a little afraid to, you know.
Yeah, again, you know, that's taking it a little bit too far. You know, saying, hey, you look great today, that's fine. Most of us really appreciate that.
Yeah.
And a spectrum swing, right? Right now we seem to be on the, oh my God, I'm afraid to say anything. But if you look at these cases that are going on in the entertainment industry, it's not somebody saying, you look great today.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of one of those things, you know it when you see it, isn't it? Because there's a feeling that's inherent.
There is.
That there's a response, I think, for most women where your body knows something is wrong here. It doesn't even have to be a physical thing. It can be a verbal thing. But you still know there's something going on that shouldn't be going on.
I think that's true, but we all have a little bit of a different meter on that, too.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas I might feel comfortable with hugs, maybe someone else in my office doesn't. And if that person doesn't, I think it's nice for them to say, you know, I'm just not a huggy person.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, we have somebody here that's like that, but it sort of makes me want to hug him more, you know? It's just sort of that thing, but I'll remember not to try not to do that. Are we treating each other well in general, would you say? I mean, you're obviously involved in legal matters in the workplace, and I just sort of wonder about the last 8 weeks in Sonoma County and what you've experienced, especially, you know, as someone so devastatingly affected by the fires. Do you think we're treating each other better right now?
Wow, I sure think so. I can't even tell you the amazing things people have done for us. From a friend, my parents also lost their home. They lived in Villa Capri in Fountain Grove.
Wow.
They've been relocated to Albany, and a friend's going to visit them every week who didn't even know them, but because I can't visit them as regularly. Last night I had a friend who invited me to her home to give us handmade quilts that she had made to help kind of give us that homey feeling. I mean, the things that people are doing for everyone, it's really overwhelmingly wonderful.
I agree. And I really don't see an end to it because, you know, what I find, I've talked a little bit about this, is that just when I think that open gaping wound is beginning to sort of pull together, I drive by a place I haven't seen yet, you know, or I talk to somebody else whose story, you know, the stories that continue to level us literally about what people, not just what people have endured, but what heroic measures they've taken since then, you know, to kind of to get to today. So every time something like that happens, it feels like that wound is just bang, open, brand new again.
I've had that same experience. We went to buy a small Christmas tree on Sunday and drove by the Willits Park Fargo Center and the neighborhood there that I hadn't known had burned down, and I just started crying.
Yeah, I was there too. This weekend, I went up to the LBC to see a show with Transcendence, and I had not been there yet either. Same thing. Yeah. Same thing. I went and bought a Christmas tree there too. I was like, yeah, there needs to be a little Christmas right this very minute, you know?
I agree. And, you know, if you have friends who are fire victims, that has been another wonderful thing, is we've had friends give us Christmas ornaments to start to rebuild our family collection. And that is a small and yet really touching and wonderful gift.
Absolutely, because you have to start new traditions. That's exactly right. One of my favorite comments on the lighter side of things came from Supervisor Susan Gorin, who lost her home also in the fires. And finally, a few weeks later, I guess, found a rental that she and her husband could move into. And she was like, well, the good news is it's a super easy move. There's a box over there. There's a box in the corner. That's pretty much it. You know, so it's so much attitude, too.
Exactly. That's what we were saying, too, is that we don't even have a suitcase to move things in, but we don't really need a suitcase.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing what you don't need, isn't it?
It's true. But it's also overwhelming to think of everything that you do need.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I imagine.
Yeah.
I imagine. So you're down in Marin County renting a house down there. I ask this of everybody in the club. Will you rebuild?
That's the plan right now, but it will never be the same. We're off of Reebley, and we've talked to a couple tree guys. We're losing 62 trees just on our 1 acre.
It
will never be the same.
Yeah, that's for sure. And that is, of course, one of the big questions that envelop and encompass us all right now. Okay, yes, in my heart of hearts, I want to stay. And the next thing is, can we stay? You know, is it feasible? Is it workable, whether from a logistic standpoint or an emotional one?
Yeah, we have a 14-year-old, and we thought, wow, he's got 4 more years of living at home, and do we want to spend 3 of those in this unstable place?
Yeah.
So we're looking to buy a home while we think about the rebuilding process.
Yeah.
And many people are going through those up and down emotions where at first you're like, of course I'm going to rebuild. And then you think, oh my goodness. And so it's going to be a process. We're not going to all know the answers right away.
Well, we didn't intend to go quite this route when we invited Dawn in to talk about sexual harassment, but this is the state of our county right now. And thank you for covering all of that territory with us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Pat.
That is Dawn Ross here on KSRO. Glad to talk to you.